Our first reading comes from Acts chapter 4. The full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the entire world. This is the word of the Lord. Today's Gospel is from John chapter 20, beginning at verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from anyone, it is withheld." Now, Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the marks of the nails, and place my finger into the marks of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it into my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It stands as one of the great and repeated quests of humanity, to see God. To get a glimpse of the hive mind, I typed seeing God into Google. There are over 240 million pages indexed. The first results registered were Scientific American, the Mormon Church, Salon.com, and the Huffington Post, along with The Atlantic and several specifically Christian ministries. Quite a range of interest in that topic. Historically, seeing God, or maybe I should phrase it as seeing the divine, has been part of Eastern and Western religions and Eastern and Western philosophy. You could consult Plato on seeing God, or you could head to an ashram. For all of those multitude of quests, God seems to remain pretty elusive. Glimpses here and shadows there. A whole lot of gods who bear a striking resemblance to the one on the quest. A few that are the negative image of the person on the quest. Or maybe that is just the Thomas in me. John's story in the gospel is a literal seeing of God. But what I want to emphasize is the almost prosaic nature of this seeing and the counter movements to that quest in this text. I used that word quest for a reason. Most of those 240 million paths to seeing God are told from the point of view of the seeker. And that in itself is a loaded modern term. But what we literally find in John's story of seeing God is that all the humans are behind locked doors because of fear. Far from being seekers, the disciples are hiders. Yet God finds them. In most quests of seeking God, what gets emphasized is the majesty or the glory or the wisdom, or for lack of a more concrete word, the ineffableness or the otherness. The quest emphasizes the personal overcoming and the gaining of wisdom. Jesus shows up to these hiders in their midst and says, peace. And then he proceeds to show them his wounds. Now, the fact of a dead guy standing has shock value. But this is not otherness or glory as we would normally understand it. This seeing of God is in the mundane. Peace, or hello. This seeing of God is not in personal overcoming, but in those artifacts of loss, those wounds. In those quests for seeing God, the seeing is the endpoint. In John, the disciples see God and the journey begins. Just as my Father sent me, so I am sending you. In the worldly quests for sight, we seek and find and do not yield, as a poet once put it. But in John, receive and then give, or forgive. And maybe the biggest difference is in that all of those quests, the enemy or the antagonists are unbelievers who tempt the hero away. or all of the masses so bereft of spiritual sight that they just stumble around looking for the physical. In John, the biggest unbeliever and physical grubber, unless I thrust my hand into his side, I won't believe, Thomas gets the vision also. And it might be said that he sees it more clearly than the others. They were glad at the sight. Thomas pronounces, "My Lord and my God." We want to see God. We go on quests for glimpses and shadows. Yet John's Jesus says, "Blessed are the ones who have not seen and yet believe." John tells us that there were plenty of such signs, but that these are written that you might believe. All of our natural questing for God gets it backwards. So if we speak about seeing God, our natural understanding of that and the biblical revelation tell different stories. The church's story is always grounded in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. The first thing that that story tells us is the direction of events. As the Catechism would say, we cannot by our own reason or strength come to believe, but the Holy Spirit has called us. The Holy Spirit that proceeds from the Father and the Son, the Comforter sent by Christ upon his ascension, that Spirit of Christ that dwells in our midst, that dwells in our very selves, breaks down our doors and gives to us Christ. Jesus comes to us. That might not be how it always feels, but that is the direction. We are not the questers, but he is. He left heaven, suffered, died, and was resurrected for us. He did that to breathe to us one word, peace. We might recognize that peace in different ways, but the core of it is forgiveness. The failures that weigh us down, the shame that often comes from those failures, the fear of death and of judgment, these are what God comes in our midst and says peace to. None of these stand in the way of seeing this God who shares our wounds and we share his. If you forgive, they are already forgiven. That's the absolution of Christ. Peace with God Almighty. We might seek it, but it's given. We don't demand it, we receive it. And that's, I think, the second part that we should understand here. Because we receive it and not find it. That peace comes from outside of us. And the primary way that God has chosen to reveal himself is not by sight, but by the Word. In the beginning, the God from God was the Word. And those disciples were sent out as messengers of that living Word. Salvation does not depend upon seeing God, but in believing his Word, believing Jesus Christ. And his Word that comes to us by the Scriptures, and his word that comes to us in our midst in the sacraments. Our quests might be about seeing, but in this world, seeing is always troublesome. Sight is promised. We will see him face to face. But now, these things are written. The word comes from outside of us so that we might believe and have life in his name. That life given to us is the core of our moral response to the word that we receive. While our natural quests would end with sight, when the word comes to us from outside of our desires, it bids us to do something. It sends us. If we have been receivers of the word, then we are sent also to give. We are sent to lead lives of peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. We are sent to lead lives of forgiveness and reconciliation. Blessed are the merciful. For our natural selves, that is not easy. We are not seeing a God in our image, but we are being conformed to the image of that God. Those beatitudes are not natural, but they are necessary. We are sent not to find God, but to lead lives of virtue, to lead lives that are salt and light, to give that word that we have received to others, to witness. So, I've denigrated the idea of seeing God, but that's not entirely right. Because another beatitude says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Here, we are always sinner and saint. We have the peace of God, but we still struggle. We are sent, but we're not always the best apostles. Here, our hearts, because they are flesh, always bear some taint. But that will not always be true. One day, we will have the resurrection body. We will be free of sin and beyond death. And then, on that day, we will have pure hearts. Today, we ask the Spirit, create in me a clean heart. And today, we see through a glass darkly. Then, we will have new hearts. And we will see him face to face. In my flesh, long after I'm dead, I will see my Lord and my God. But today, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Amen.